This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Just to clarify, chaplaincy is not first for any particular reason. So this the seminars here, they're not in any particular order. It's not like chaplaincy is the best thing you can do, right? I just want to clarify that. I'm going to be speaking about imamat. And firstly, because I only have 10 minutes, I'm going to try to... The idea is that we provide a basic overview here, and then anybody with further questions, inshallah, that will be taken care of in the workshops. So... Imamat, especially in the subcontinent and other places, was simply leading the prayers. And maybe they did a few extra things, janazah, ghusl, etc. But otherwise, it was simple. In fact, in many places in Pakistan, they have the imamat position and they have a khatib position. So the imam doesn't necessarily have to give the Jumu'ah bayans. That's a khatib. Sometimes just a khatib, they take from the local madrasa, the teachers, they do the khitabat, and they don't necessarily do imamat. So you have that in many places. However, looking at the West in general, UK, US, etc., the imamat is a job that is, subhanAllah, a superhuman job, right? As many of you are probably aware of. It requires you to be a multi-talented individual with various different abilities and skills. Now this would be something typical that any decent imamat post, if you want to make it successful and you want to really do something with your imamat, this is what would be required, right? So you'd need to lead prayers, of course. That's very important, in fact, because if you're leading prayers, you're leading a few prayers because there's another imam who does the majority of prayers, and you are just doing a few prayers and you're doing everything else like maktab, counseling and everything else, there will be a good segment of the community that will think that you're not doing anything. And if you have a 15,000, 18,000, maybe 20,000 package, then they will take that 20,000 package and divide it to the number of salats you do in a week. And they'll say that for every salat you get paid £100, and that's too much. They won't see anything else. So some people, imamat is just leading prayers. They want to see you on the musalla. But really, imamat is leading prayers generally, teaching children through the maktab, whether that be managing the maktab or just teaching in a maktab. Counseling, whether you like it or not, you have to do counseling in this. People will come to you with some issue, some agony, and you have to be an agony uncle, an agony imam, right? You have to do that. I mean, to learn some kind of counseling, to study some kind of counseling would make it very, very, it would be very useful. Of course, it's a leadership role. It's a leadership role. Everybody says, imam sahab, imam. Everything is imam. Whether it's your responsibility as an imam or not, everything is imam. And they expect you to take care of everything. An imam then has to become a leader, which means that he doesn't have to necessarily do everything himself. He has to at least delegate. That's a successful imam, to preempt these things, to find needs in the society and maybe delegate. Find concerned members of the community, other ulama, set up certain classes and things like this. That's what you call imam these days. Religious guidance, of course, answering people's questions and comforting people who are in need. Somebody's lost a son, somebody's had a divorce, somebody's lost a business. All of these things come about, believe me, you on a day-to-day basis. It's a really very comprehensive task. Aims and objectives. None of this is exhaustive. These are just some points. None of this is exhaustive. None of this, you know, we don't claim that this is the only points here. These are just some of the points. Guide people in this, it should be in their religious needs. That's one big aim and objective. Make religion practical and relevant for them. I believe that that is really what matters. Anybody can go and lead a prayer. But as I said, to fulfill the more widespread role of being relevant, how do you take the deen that you studied in a madrasa and deliver it in a practical way that people want to take it? That is what you call wisdom. That is what you call hikmah, the delivery of that knowledge. Do I have to say this in a soft way? Do I have to say this in a harsh way sometimes? Do I have to shout? Right, which should be just really sometimes, right? Do I have to talk about something else first, get their attention, their sympathy, then bring this issue up to them? Or should I just go in and bulldoze everything? Right? These are the challenges. It's the hikmah of how you deliver that knowledge. That is, I believe, the crux of a successful imam. And that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Of how you deliver a knowledge. Help unlock the door to wilayat. Right? Essentially, take people to Allah. Whether they're common people, non-ulama, you have to tell them the door of wilayat and closeness to Allah is open to you as well. It is not just for the ulama, it's not just for the few, it's for everybody. As long as they fulfill the faraid and the obligations, that's what we have to tell them. And of course, lead people to paradise, inshallah. Be at the forefront on the day of judgment with your congregation. Sounds very ambitious, but that's really what it should be, inshallah. Suitability. Again, you need a lot of wisdom in delivering your message. Now, how do you get this wisdom? I would generally suggest to people that, you know, people are of different personality types. Some people are very interactive, mashallah. If you're of a studious type, somebody who just likes studying a lot, right, who likes his books, for you, imamat is going to be a bit difficult because you're not a people's man. I'm telling you this from example. You're going to be forced to be extroverted. You're going to be forced to go and do things that are mundane, like listen to people. You'd rather be studying, right? So there's a personality type there. You need a lot of flexibility. You would be called up in weird hours of the day and night, strange times. You need a lot of flexibility. If you say, no, this is not my time. You know, of course, you can put your foot down in some cases. But otherwise, you have to be open to the public. And what you have to realize, and this bothers you a lot sometimes, somebody will call you in the middle of the night or something like this and ask you, like, you know, Ja'al A'rabi. Is that kind of a thing? You know, the desert Arab came and asked the Prophet, give me of that which Allah has given you. This is what they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you want to get angry. Like, aapko samajh mein nahi aata hai? You know, you want to get angry, but you can't. You have to just take it and then try to explain to them, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. Just don't give your phone. I have two phones. No, that works a lot. Have your personal phone and have another phone for question and answers, which you can shut off when you want. So that's the public phone number. You can't hide yourself. You can't be an imam who does his salat and then he's gone. There's sometimes I've gone to find an imam and I want to talk to him, and believe me, I was waiting, and then I started speaking to somebody else, and the imam is gone. Because they think you shouldn't talk to anybody. That doesn't make a successful imam. A successful imam is that they go outside and they talk to people. They make themselves available. That's the idea of it. You have to have a lot of compassion, soft-heartedness and compassion, wanting good for people. Right? This is a character trait, wanting good for people, wanting to help people. At the end of the day, if you keep that in mind, and altruism, which is just my understanding of altruism, is for the sake of Allah. That, okay, this is bothering me, I'm going to be late, my wife is going to be waiting and saying, you know, you're always late for dinner or whatever the case is. But at the end of the day, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you've got that in mind, then inshallah, things become easy for you. It's not just about money. Forbearance and a forgiving personality. You have to have a very thick skin. Believe me. You will be told, there'll be some people who will come and say, you know, so-and-so, he was saying this about you. What are you supposed to do? Go up to the guy and say, why are you saying these things about me? Right? They will do that. Alhamdulillah, you know, when with experience, you have to build a thick skin and then go and make salam with that brother the next day. Assalamu alaikum, how are you, brother? How are you, chacha? You know, whatever it is. That's what happens. At the end of the day, you have to win them over. And of course, punctuality is very important. The reason is that, as I said, for most people, they want to see you there exactly on time. And especially many of our masjids, they have these fitna clocks with the seconds on them. Right? This is a big fitna. And they just wait for this. And they're waiting for that time. And if you're not there and you're not on time, then what you have to remember is that, you know, if you're going for a meeting, you're a 1 hour meeting, and you go there 5 minutes late, it can be accommodated. Right, it's tolerable because you got an hour meeting, chalo, 5 minutes late. But when you're on imamat, your salat is 5-7 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. And if you're late in that, you're in big trouble because every minute there or second there counts as a multiplication of many things. And then they wonder why they're paying you. Right? So it's very that's very important. The benefits of the role: opportunity to perform your salat in the masjid. I'm serious. That is, it forces you to be in the masjid for your salat. And I believe, you know, if you're doing this with sincere intention, on the day of judgment, you will just be, subhanallah, amazed at the amount of reward you have accumulated, as long as the intention is sahih. Attain the greatness, the greatest reward of the prayer. So within a jama'ah, the greatest reward goes to the imam. Right? So you are, mashallah, getting the reward, the greatest reward of them, because the barakah comes down, the mercy comes down. Abwaab rahmatik, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. This mercy comes down to the imam first, then it goes to the row behind him, to the right, then to the left, and second row, and like this, you're getting, mashallah, you are the source of this mercy. Benefit hundreds of people. I won't say thousands, but definitely hundreds of people, which means you have the best audience, because you have a live audience in front of you who have to come for Jumu'ah prayer, for example, if you're doing khatib. If you're being a khatib and a khitabat, you will benefit these people. Believe me, generally they say that a bayan, there's generally a 5% a 5% take up of any speech, which means 5% out of 100, 5 people out of every 100 will do something with what you say. If it's a solid bayan, hajj bayan, for example, then maybe a bit more. Ramadan, you know, it increases 20%, 30%, 40%. But as an imam, you constantly get this ability to benefit people. You obviously benefit numerous people. You benefit the men, the women, the children, the wider schools. If you're doing your job well, school visits, wider non-Muslim community through interfaith work, open houses, whatever else that you're doing, you have a massive scope to do a lot of work. Sadaqa jariyah, through everybody that you teach or assist, everybody that you have told something to. For example, you say to them, you mentioned that, you know, when you go into Sainsbury's or Morrison's or Harrods or whatever, and you read La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhi wa yumitu biyadihi al-khayru wa huwa hayyun la yamut biyadihi al-khayru wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, you get a million rewards. And then 10 people went and did that. You also get that reward. Every time they go into a shop and read that dua until, and then everybody they teach and those people teach, it all comes back to you. So can you imagine how much investment you can make as an imam? It's quite amazing. Of course, you receive the du'as of your congregation. Everybody you help, they will have an impromptu du'a that will come from their heart. Allah, bless this imam. Establish yourself in the community. Establish yourself in the community means that if you want to do something else, you don't want to do imamat really. You want to start an organization, an institute, you want to do something else. Well, you need money, you need support, you need... you need a standing in the community. You need people to recognize you. One of the ways to do that is to become an imam first. You get some recognition. People understand you. They can see what you've done. Then you can leave and do something else and give somebody else a place of imamate. Challenges of the role. This is the one job where you'll have everybody in the committee and some members of the community as well who are not members of the committee. They will all be your supervisors and bosses. Everybody, you know, like if you're a chaplain, you'll only have one boss. That's why that's an easier job, to be honest. Right? But in this case, every member of the community is going to think, Imam Sahab, you know, you did it too long today. And somebody said, man, you were too slow today. Said, okay, you know, how do you balance this? And this is just a simple thing. Right? You will be open to a lot of criticism and comments. You just have to learn how to take them. Don't get defensive. Learn to understand people will exaggerate, but there may be an ounce of, at least a bit, proportion of truth in there maybe, right? So don't ever become defensive. Some boards and communities will already have a conflict within them. There are already two parties there. How are you going to negotiate that if you're an imam in that masjid? Firstly, don't ever go into a masjid like that unless you have serious negotiation skills, conflict resolution skills. Otherwise, you will be in big trouble, because each party will try to make you theirs. And if you do become one party's or the others, then you have lost your job. Meaning you've failed. You need to be above everything. You need to be the go-to person that will provide some solace and comfort and guidance to both sides. It's a very difficult thing to do. Cultural or liberal demands or restrictions. This could take a long time. You have cultural demands. They want you to do something. And you know it's not Islamic, it's just cultural. Or some people want to be very liberal in a masjid. They want to open up to this particular activity or that activity. Maybe have some speed dating. right? And they have justification for these things that, you know, the masjid has to be a role for this. And I've dealt with all of this in America, but this is normal stuff. Every day was a new challenge. In England, it's a different challenge. In England, you have to tell people that things are permissible, right? We've got, subhanAllah, there's different challenges everywhere. Interaction with the co-imam, that sometimes provides in its own challenge. Sometimes the other imam's there from before. He's got a particular way of doing something. And he wants you to conform to that. How are you going to do that? You have to learn how to deal. Because if the two, and there are places, subhanAllah, that two imams have a conflict. That's very, very detrimental, because it then that's what you're focused on. You're praying salat and you're worried about, you know, your argument against the imam. These are other challenges. Okay. These are the prerequisites, qualifications. I'm sure most of you know, but this is just to refresh our mind. Good sound recitation with tajweed, please. We need that. We need people to enjoy their prayers. So have good recitation. Right? And masjid should get people with good recitation. You know? Memorization of a sufficient portion of the Quran. I mean, I'm just being very pedantic here. That's obvious, right? But you need to know. Being sufficiently knowledgeable of the related rulings of Salat, Imamat, and normal everyday fiqh. Now, alhamdulillah, it will be mostly ulama, and they should know all of this. Counseling, knowledge, and skills. Take a course if you have to. It would be very, very helpful. If you try to learn on the job, you'll make a lot of mistakes. You may break a few marriages in the process. Right? Language of the community. That's another factor. If you're in a Bangladeshi community, well, learn some Bengali. Right? If you're in a Gujarati community, well, you better know some Gujarati. It helps. It helps a lot to be in that. The demand of imamat, it's huge. Seriously, it's huge. Masajid cannot find imams. Right? They can't find imams. Good leadership is extremely important at this time, and generally it's the imams of masjids that will lead their communities with all of the challenges that we're facing today. Hours, unconventional hours. Right, you start off at 4 o'clock in the morning, or 1:30, depending on which time you follow. Sometimes, so Fajr, right? And it just depends when it's Ramadan or which time of the year it is. Subhanallah. But that's all part of the job. Right. Salary is anywhere between, I'm being, you know, generous there, 12,000 to 33,000. Right now, both of those ends are the extreme ends generally, and there's even more than 33,000. There was a recent place in Tower Hamlets offering like 40 something thousand. Right, Stamford Hill was offering around 33,000. They've broken the ceiling. You know, the salary ceiling, they've broken it, but they can't find an imam. Which is really sad. Right? Unfortunately, there are some people, just this weekend I was somewhere, the two imams were getting 12,000 a year, that's it. Right, that's half of the lowest band of chaplaincy. Alhamdulillah, Hafiz Patel Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he had visited, he asked him, how much is your pay? He knows somebody in the committee, and he, mashallah, pushed it up to 18,000. And he said, next time I come, inshallah, 23 or 24. But unfortunately, he passed away before that. Right? But unfortunately, this is a bit of a sad case. You see, we should do zuhud as imams, and we should take it easy. But communities should not do tazheed. They should not force us to do zuhud. They should give. They should be generous. But anyway, that's another story. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Jazakallah khair.